mind, especially if we fail. It's so easy to call other believers losers. It's so easy to judge other believers. It's so easy to become superior in our own thinking and when other believers fail. But to be a friend like Job or to be a friend like Peter, meaning Christ, to me is so very important, not only in regard to the one who fails, in this case Peter, but in your respect to when you are around a believer who fails when their faith is under siege, to have the Christ doesn't even bring it up. What he brings up is that it's time for me to leave, because this is after the resurrection. In fact, he will leave shortly right after this occurs. And it's time for Peter and the disciples to get on with the service. And the preparation, God can only use the prepared believer. And it's very clear from this passage and many others that the preparation is spiritual life. There is nothing that will make greater demands in service of Christ than spiritual love. Preparation is not the absence of sin. It's not the amount of Bible doctrine. It is not a commitment. It is a love that wherewith Christ has loved us. And this is what he's looking for. In all the passages that deal with service of Christ and related to, for example, the familiar passages, we have to carry your own cross. It's in a context of love. There's nothing that will make greater demands on a person than spiritual love. Indeed, even in the secular world, I'm not married, but I know this to be true. There's nothing that will make greater demands on you than love, romantic love, love of a man and a woman. It will make the most unbelievable demands of a person to live with someone and to continue to love them. This isn't true of all. I know one or two of you are married to an angel and married to a saint and all that, and they've never wronged or never tested you or challenged you, and I'm so happy for you. But that isn't the norm. Most of us fall in love with somebody with a sin nature, and it's always there. But again, it's love is the greatest test, and love has the greatest demands. There's nothing that will make greater demand than love. It costs God his son. If you doubt it, look what it costs God. It cost God his son to die on a cross. If you doubt it, look what it cost Christ. It cost him his life on the cross. And this was spiritual love. Let's prepare ourselves for the study as we continue with our study now of the recovery of Satan, or of Peter, from when Satan calls his name. Let us pray. What a privilege it is, Heavenly Father, to assemble ourselves this evening with other members of the body of Christ who are like-minded. Heavenly Father, it is our purpose to be transformed into the very image of Jesus Christ by the power of God the Holy Spirit, who clearly is the one who will do this by our faith. But it's not that simple. Satan doesn't want this to happen. The world doesn't want it to happen, and our flesh constantly fights it. And so, Heavenly Father, we dedicate now these few moments to the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, that we can understand these things and apply these truths to our lives, that we might learn of the greatest preparation for service, the greatest preparation for marriage, the greatest preparation for friendship, the greatest preparation in our life, a goal and objective, to love as Christ loved. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, John chapter 21, after the failure of Peter, and that's the denials of Peter as a result of being under the siege of Satan. And we've studied all of that. Christ sought him out right after the resurrection. We do not know what was discussed at that meeting. I don't know if we ever will, even in eternity. And now, just before Christ leaves, he is with the disciples. We're in verse 15 through 17. And we've divided this up. We're going to look at this as sort of one verse, one study. And we have three. Our outline is very simple. Roman numeral 1 is the question. The question by Jesus Christ. So here we have the question. And the question is, do you love me? And then Roman numeral 2, we are looking. In fact, this is where we are. And this is Peter's reply. So here we have Peter's reply. And then the third Roman numeral will be the command. So we're going to have, and we haven't gotten to the command yet, the question, do you love me? Now we're looking at Peter's reply, and we're having a little problem right now, if you recall from last week. Jesus Christ in the question said, do you love me? Agapao. And we ended up last week looking at various Greek words for love. Agapao. And Peter's going to reply is, yes, but he's going to change the word to phileo. And so now we're looking at the change of the word by Peter. And as I said last week, to a lot of people, this is where they become a little critical of Peter and analyze it in a lot of different ways. First of all, for our study, and I want to reiterate that as we saw last night, the language, the Greek language is not precise. It is very, very dangerous. And the more I study the Word of God and become aware of so many different things, it is very dangerous to take a word and cram it into one meaning all the time. Even the same writer will change it. But what you have to do is understand it as the writer understands it, the context, other writers. But all of the words, just like an English word, has its root and basic meaning. And then you go from there to the context. Another great problem with the language is that we're making a leap here, and that is a spiritual one. We're going from taking a Greek language, as great as the Greek is, and we're moving in that the abstract nature of Greek. Hebrew doesn't lend itself to too much abstract thinking. Hebrew is very concrete. The words are concrete. You visualize the picture because they didn't have writing. They didn't have writing material, and everything was very concrete in the Hebrew. Atonement. This is blood on top of the mercy seat, and the word visualizes all of these things. But when you come to Greek, Greek lends itself to abstract type of thinking. And what we've done with it, we've taken it into the spiritual realm. And therefore, I'm sure you know, people have written books just on this discussion between Christ and Peter, trying to get a handle of the two different words. And certainly we could spend a great deal of time, but fundamentally, agapao, what I can say about this word is that in many contexts in the New Testament, from John 13 on, this is what you and I understand as spiritual love. This is never spiritual love. And this means that this love, agapao, is by God the Holy Spirit. Is it by God the Holy Spirit every time agapao is in the New Testament? No. I don't even pretend to say that. Don't even pretend to say that. But I can say that the love that God the Holy Spirit pours into us is agapao or agape. It is this love because of such passages as Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And Romans chapter 5, where God the Holy Spirit pours this love. So for our study, what Christ is asking is, do you love me with agapao, a new love that he talked about at the upper room, that you love one another as I have loved you. And this is agapao love. It's a powerful love. It is a love by God the Holy Spirit. Though Peter hasn't really grasped at this time the place of the Holy Spirit here. But when Peter uses phileo, what Peter is saying is, this is, I hate to use the word less, but if you'll understand this as a love of the God the Holy Spirit, then I can say this is a little less. And what Peter is saying here, to me this is Peter's finest hour. Peter should in no way be negated, attacked, any critical remark about Peter. This to me is his finest hour. This is his finest moment, because what Peter is saying is, yes, I do love you, phileo. He didn't say agapao. Yes, I do phileo you. I do love you. No, I do not love you the way you ask. I do not love you the way that you should be loved. I can't. How do I know I can't? I just denied you three times. I'm well aware of my weakness. I'm well aware that I have been brought to my knees. If before that, I would have said, yes, I agapao you. I'm sure Peter would have. Before Satan got a hold of him, he would have said, yes, I agapao you. But now his weakness has been revealed. What Satan can do to him has been revealed. And so Peter backs off. Yes, I love you. No, I do not love you. I cannot love you the way that you should be loved and the way that you're asking. So to me, this is his finest hour. I think had Peter said, yes, I agapao you, he would have been so out of line. He would have not learned his lesson. But now, it's like when we study boasting and weakness. You have to realize how weak you are. Only then will you be strong in the Lord. If you think you are strong in your doctrine, or strong in your works, or strong in your Christian life, then you don't need to be strong in the Lord. But if you realize how weak you are, then you will be free to be strong in the Lord. This is what Peter has now come to realize. So Peter learned the most valuable lesson. His flesh was weak against the forces of darkness. Peter has been humbled by the denial. He has repented of that. He has learned from this. And we know this by his use of a different word here than the Lord used. So Peter learned about himself. People, let me say, as we start closing down our study of When Satan Calls Your Name, I have one more passage that will frighten you. If I haven't frightened you with the study so far, this one will probably do it. Probably about half of you will be here when I get through with the last part of our study, When Satan Calls Your Name. But one thing that happens when Satan does come in, and the demonic forces, the forces of darkness come in, you learn a lot about yourself. I don't think that any of us, with the understanding, without the understanding of all of this, would have said that very objectively, well, yes, I can fall and I can be. We'd like to think we would, but some of us would also like to think that we loved him with a very strong love. And when Satan calls your name, you'll learn a great deal about yourself. If you don't already know, you'll learn a great deal about the power of the forces of darkness. You'll learn a great deal about the love of Christ. You'll learn a great deal about the law of liberty. You'll learn a great deal about serving one another in love, not judging and maligning and setting yourself up in competition with other believers. You'll learn a great deal when Satan calls your name and you're brought to your knees. This is what happened to Paul, and we studied this. Paul had so much doctrine. He had more, had all the doctrine of the mystery, plus he had also had doctrine he couldn't even reveal to us of heaven. He had so much doctrine, he didn't need God. But every now and then, God brought him to his knees by having a demon come along and slug him, and therefore bring him to his knees just so he would constantly be aware, you need me. You need my power, you need my grace, you need my love, and you never get away from it. I don't care how much you know. You're never going to get away from needing me. So Peter has learned a great deal about himself, just as we all will. He's learned a great deal about love. He's learned a great deal about love. There is nothing like the test of love to learn about love. There's nothing like the test of faith to learn about faith. And people will learn a great deal of the Word of God and concerning faith. But not until that faith is tested are you going to learn. This is why we grow by the testing of our faith, not just by the knowledge. There are several ways we grow. It isn't just by the learning of the Word. It's by the testing of our faith. And this is what happened to Job, and this is what happens to all of us. You can believe whatever you want, but do you believe it when it's under siege? Do you believe it when you're under testing? Are you going to continue to trust God? And so we learn a great deal about love. A lot of people go into love with a lot of preconceived ideas. Well, if my husband or my wife ever betray me in an adulterous affair, that'll be it. I'll shoot them. That can't be handled. And da 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 da. And then lo and behold, under the greatest siege, you find out, my God, it didn't even wipe out my love for him. And you start learning some things about love. And you start learning some things about yourself. There is nothing like the forces of darkness, the conflict, to bring us into a realization about love and about faith. And Peter's learned a lot about love. I thought I loved you with agapao love, but I don't. Now, just to jump ahead for you and for me right now, in a very few days, Peter will receive the empowering ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, and Peter will be able to do everything that he said that he would do for Christ. He will have the power to do so. But right now, he doesn't have the power. So he's learning a great deal about himself. He's learning a great deal about love. He's learning a great deal about the love of Christ. And it might just surprise you what would happen to you when Satan calls your name. This is an alarming lesson to learn. It surprises many believers when they first realize that they cannot love Christ the way they think they could, in as far as the flesh is concerned. And it's a startling reality. I cannot love Jesus Christ the way even I desire to love him. And I would have thought I could. And this is why it is absolutely essential. I hope this study is doing one other thing. The absolute essential of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit-filled life who pours this love. It might mean that you would not say it theologically, because if you were forced to sit down and think about it, but the way we start getting in the momentum of our lives, I love Christ, and we don't think of it in the matter of the power of the Holy Spirit. I love him, and I will always love him. People in the power of the flesh, you cannot love him. And until you realize that, you're not going to be totally dependent on the ministry of the Holy Spirit every minute of your life. You cannot love him. And this is what Peter is now saying for us. I cannot do it. So we learn a vital lesson in the spiritual conflict about love and about ourselves. So let's learn, let's note a few points here tonight in regard to the spiritual love and love of the flesh. Because this is what we're basically looking at here, is the love of the flesh is the word phileo. This is a love that the flesh can give. And agapao, or agape, is a love of the spirit-filled life. This is a love that comes to us supernaturally from God. Point one, our love in the flesh. Our love in the flesh is so different from our love in the Spirit of Christ, that is the Holy Spirit. Our love in the flesh, love that comes, put it on the board. There are actually two parts of who and what every one of us are. Let me do it this way. Here, if I can keep them both in a circle. In the inner circle is the new man. In the inner circle here is the new man. This is the real you. This is the new spiritual creation. Now, out here is the flesh. Out here is the old man. Here's the old man, or the flesh. Now, love that comes from the flesh, even if it's directed toward God, even if it's directed toward Jesus Christ, directed toward other believers, is so diametrically different from a love that comes from the new man, from the new man who is filled with the Holy Spirit or empowered by the Holy Spirit. The loves are so different. Point two, there is absolutely no way the flesh can produce spiritual love. And I'm using spiritual love for the concept of agapao or agape love, or the love that Christ is talking about, the love that Christ commands in the new commandment, the love that the Holy Spirit gives us as a fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. So there is absolutely no way the flesh can produce spiritual love. Impossible. The flesh cannot produce. Here's the flesh, the old man. It cannot produce spiritual love. Here's where spiritual love comes from. Here is where the love of the flesh comes from, or in our study. Love of the flesh is here. Here is spiritual love. The flesh cannot produce this love. I don't care how great the flesh is, it cannot produce this love. Flesh is incapable of this love. Peter loved the Lord in our study. He, like all the disciples, loved the Lord to the best that they could in the flesh. When Peter used phileo here, he realized the weakness of the flesh. This is what he began to realize. Our study began to realize the weakness of the love of the flesh, because he indeed loved Jesus Christ with this love. And if we're going to criticize, as I said before, if we're going to criticize Peter in his love and his boasting of love, then people, we have to criticize every person throughout all the Old Testament who is not directly explained to us or filled with the Spirit. We have to criticize them for saying that they would love God or Christ or the coming Messiah, because love from the flesh is weakness. It is weak. Doesn't even begin to compare with a spiritual love. The weakness of the flesh produces a weak love. Point three. These two loves, spiritual love and love of the flesh, are different in source. And this is what is essential here. They are different in source. The source of one is the flesh, weak, dead, unstable. No matter how noble, no matter how much human integrity one may have, no matter how strong one's self-will is, love of the flesh is filthy before God. You know this old thing of our righteousness is as filthy rags before Him? People, our love is as filthy rags before Him. Don't be impressed with it. It's of the flesh. This is the only thing the flesh can produce, is this love. And the flesh is desperately wicked. The flesh cannot do anything that is pleasing to God. Now, spiritual love, what is the source of spiritual love? The source of spiritual love is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, who pours this love inside of us. And when Peter gets this, he's going to be able to do everything that he said he would do, and you and I will be able to serve him. This is the love that is produced by the Holy Spirit. So you take your pick: a love from the source of the flesh, a love from the source of the third member of the Godhead. It's that simple of a choice. So we have a contrast in source: flesh versus a person, the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Four. These two loves differ not only in source, but because of source, they differ in their impact. They differ in their effect in your life. Flesh can only have an effect in the world, in the material or seen world. This is the impact of it. Spiritual love, on the other hand, the magnitude of it, the impact of it, the effect of it, people, the effect of this love is in the spiritual realm. Not only are they different in their source, but that tells you a great deal. This love has its impact in regard to the flesh. This love has its impact in regard to the spiritual. And God is spirit. This love has an impact in regard to the spiritual realm. Five. Love from the flesh is weak and conditional. Now, let me say this. It's real. It's love. But it is weak. It is conditional. It cannot withstand the power of Satan. And this is very important in our study of when Satan calls your name. This love, love from the flesh, demonstrated by Peter, cannot withstand the power of Satan, the onslaught of Satan. Peter is a perfect example. I love you with a love I am willing to die. He wasn't a babbling fool. We spent one evening going through all the passages relating Peter and our Lord. He wasn't babbling. He loved the Lord. But people, when Satan comes down on the flesh, it is weak. The flesh is no contest for Satan. No contest at all. It cannot withstand the power of Satan, the schemes of Satan, the attacks of Satan. It simply can't do it. Now, by contrast, greater is he that is in you than he that is without. Now, when the Holy Spirit is in you and he is producing spiritual love, this love can withstand. And this is, we're getting ready for the recovery of Peter, and when the Holy Spirit comes, when Peter has the power of the Holy Spirit, he's going to be able to withstand the onslaughts of Satan, and he's going to be able to die for Christ without backing up in fear, because what removes fear? Spiritual love. 1 John teaches us that. The removal of fear is by love. And therefore, Peter is going to be able to withstand everything about Satan and die for Christ in a wonderful way. He's going to have all the power and ability to do it, but not in the flesh. This is a great study for us to learn. If we indeed want to love him, if we indeed want to serve him, we're going to have to rely on God the Holy Spirit. Human love, love of the flesh, romantic love, family love, value love, relationship love, all are as strong as the person himself. And this is why people who think they are strong in the flesh prefer this kind of love. Love that depends on their character. Love that depends on their self-discipline. But before God, people, this love is like unrighteousness. It's like our righteousness. It's filthy rags. It's weak. It means nothing. It doesn't impress them. It has all the weaknesses of the flesh. And once Satan charges in on our human love of the flesh, we'll see how weak it is. So this is the weakness of the spiritual love, or flesh love, reveals itself in the conflict with Satan. See? Let's note a principle we studied in regard to spiritual love. Love makes great demands upon us. In fact, love is the most demanding on our lives. Many people in philosophy and psychology, theology, try to come up with a love that is not demanding, but people, love is demanding. And we can't get away from that. And we can try, you can try to change it, but then you're going to take yourself out from a way of the realm of love. You have to face the fact. Love makes unbelievable demands. Any category of love. Remember, we studied three categories of love in our study. We studied, and depending on the source, we studied one, divine love. Then we studied, this comes from God. Then we studied human love, and human love comes from the source of humanity. This is love. And then we studied a third love on earth, and that is spiritual love. And we call it that because it comes from a new spiritual creation. This comes from humanity. This comes from God. This comes from a new spiritual creation. But they all have ingredients of love. And what we need to see is that love makes the greatest demands on us. And again, if you start, the more I study, see, I study it at home, then I try to come here and pull all of these things together for you to see. But take a principle like this. Nothing is going to be more demanding on you than love. Then you take that with the first impact or the first effect of spiritual love, and what is it? In 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is long-suffering. Why? Why is love long-suffering? That's a heck of a thing to have to say as the first thing about love. That isn't the first thing I want to read about love. I want to read that love is just wonderful, and it'll take care of me, and it'll make me feel good, and it'll serve me, and it'll do this, it'll do that. And the first thing the Bible says, love is long-suffering. Well, then I don't think I'm going to fall in love. That's not what we fall in love for. I don't want to fall in love and suffer. Fall in love and suffer. But I want you to understand the truthfulness of God's Word. Love is the most demanding upon us. And I can back that up with so many different ways. Nothing will make more demand on you, not righteousness and justice. It won't make that demand on you. That's easy. Love makes the biggest and greatest demands on us. When you love someone, even human love is this. There is not a love that's going to make, that anything's going to make greater demands, parent and child sometimes, the demands that that love will make. A husband and wife, the demands that that love will make. And here we just decide whether how long we want to suffer through this and how long we want our love to take this. What do you think it's going to mean? We haven't gotten there yet, and I'll get back to it. Love bears all things. I don't want love to bear all things. I want love to take it off of me and just, you know, so, and I'm free. No, that's not what love is. We've got to know what love is. Love is long-suffering. Love bears all things. Love does not, how about this? Love does not consider when wronged. Well, forget it. No, that's what love is. We don't get to just decide in our little idea, well, this is what love is to me. Well, forget to me. Let's find out what love is in the Word of God. And these questions to Peter. Peter, you're going to feed my sheep? You're going to have to love me. Because it's going to make a demand on you. You know what the demand will be on Peter? His life. It's going to demand Peter's life. He's going to have to die for Christ. Love makes the ultimate of sacrifices. That's what love will do. And this is why we have to understand what love is going to be. So love makes the greatest demands upon us. Love is the most demanding. You can try all your best to get away from that. That's why I taught you. Christ's love was sacrificial to self for the benefit of others. You can try to twist the definition of love, the understanding of love, try to make it this and define it that way and say this is what love is. Love never takes anything and love this. But the Bible makes it very clear what love is and what love is not. And love makes the greatest demands upon us. And in the area of the love of the flesh, discover they cannot meet the demands of love. We live in a society that many people cannot meet the demands of love in romance and marriage and family. Love is demanding. Not how we're rich in the world today in America. And it's so indicative of the broken marriages. You know, I need to emphasize, and I don't do it, I'm accused of it, but I don't. I would like to really turn every wedding into a really good zeroing in on some preaching. And what I would, one thing that I would take out of a traditional ceremony, because I am a traditionalist, I love a traditional marriage. Every now and then people would you do it this way and they have some weird stuff and I just take it from the Bible. But I do like the traditional phrase, for better or for worse, and I think what needs to be emphasized is the better. I don't know that many people in my lifetime that have left their spouse under worse, where their spouse really needed them. They're generally there. But the better, get more money, get success, get going, have some other women approach you, have other men approach you, have all the opportunity, it's over. Really, we think of, yeah, better or worse, and things get worse, they're gone. No, my experience has been a lot of times when things get worse, a lot of times people, well, I've got to stay, you know, they really need me now. But boy, when they get through this, I'm gone. But they need me now. But you let better come along, let success, prosperity, opportunities, and it just isn't there. Nothing's going to make greater demands on us than love. it will make the demands on our lives. So this is why love is sacrificial and beneficial. Love, and if you ever doubt what I'm teaching, again, I have to take you to the most pivotal of illustrations, the cross. Love demanded God give His Son. It's the only way. That's it. Righteousness and justice have done its job, condemned us. If He's going to love us with His love as God, He's going to have to give us His Son. If Jesus Christ is going to love us, He's going to have to give us His life on the cross. That simple. So you love with that magnitude. That's why love is understood in magnitude. Well, I love you that much. And beyond that much, I don't love you. When this love thing starts moving in on my time and my life, then my love for you stops. That's how big the magnitude of their love is. Spiritual love is going to make great demands. In fact, all love does. Point six, let's move on. Spiritual love, love from the source of God, the Holy Spirit, is the same love toward God, the same love toward Christ, and the same love toward others. Why? It has the same source. Spiritual love isn't going to change. See, human love changes. Human love changes in a lot of areas. Human love changes maybe from a family member to other family members even. And it'll change in a lot of different ways. But spiritual love is exact same. So here's spiritual love. Spiritual love, same spiritual love toward God, same spiritual love toward Jesus Christ, and the same spiritual love toward other born-again believers. It is exactly the same. It is spiritual love. Its source is the same, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces the same love toward God, the same love toward Christ, and the same love toward others. This is why it's unconditional, and this is why it has the power and the impact that it does in your life. Point seven. Therefore, on the discussion of love, the first thing we have to do is to confess or recognize or acknowledge that we cannot produce this love. And this is the greatest thing. If a person comes up to me at a conference, sometimes here, and says, when they start understanding the demands of spiritual love, we get back to 1 Corinthians 13, and you come up and you say, I cannot do it. When you and I can do that, you're at a perfect place. Because are you listening to me? It's what Peter's saying. I can't do that. I cannot love the way you want me to love. And I know that. I've learned my lesson. And sometimes believers are very smart in this without having to go through what Peter went through. I can't do that. I can't lay down my life for a believer. I can't bear all things. My love isn't going to be all of you. My love isn't going to be lost. All this is one of the most wonderful places that we can be is right where Peter is. Now, people, Peter had to get to this point because of Satan's seed. Peter had to learn this the hard way that he couldn't love this way. But if you and I can take a look at the Word of God and understand the demands of spiritual love and what spiritual love is, and then realize, I can't do that. I cannot do that. Now, that's different than I won't do that. This is, I cannot do that. I do not have the ability. You are at a wonderful place because now you're at the same place that Peter is, and you're ready now to rely on the power that is provided by God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Now you're ready to rely on Him for this love. So we cannot produce the love that is demanded of us. When we reach that point, we will rely on God the Holy Spirit by faith to produce this love. Point eight is for the benefit of some of you who have asked me a wonderful question in many different ways several times. Let's take our first shot at it tonight. I'll come back to it later. I'm not going to avoid the question you've asked. Here's the question. Does the Holy Spirit pour romantic love, family love, and all the other things that we talk about in love? Now, the best answer I can give you is this. The unbeliever, they take human love human love, and the best, using our Greek word, the best that we can do with human love is phileo. Okay, here's phileo. Now, what I want you to understand is that an unbeliever, a person that has not accepted Christ as Savior, does not have the Holy Spirit, the unbeliever can love with this love. The unbeliever capable of human love. He can have a love. An unbeliever can love the family, and making a distinction from his family to he can love his wife or her husband. He can love. They can love their own children. They can love country. They can have value love. We cover value love. The unbeliever can have all of these things, and I call all of this human love. It's from the source of the human. And so a human being can love. Now, if we understand that with an unbeliever, let's take a born-again believer. Now let's look at a believer. When a believer is being led, empowered, if you please, by God the Holy Spirit, and therefore being led, directed in all categories of love, and the Holy Spirit is empowering this love, the best thing that I can do is some of the study that we used to do in regard to faith. That here is the born-again believer. Now, when a believer, by the way, when a believer is out of the filling of the Spirit, doesn't necessarily mean that his love toward his wife stops. A believer can be carnal, out of the power of the ministry Spirit, and still love his wife. Unless that's what got him out of the power of the ministry of the Spirit, then we have another problem. I just stay with my thinking right now. She can be out of the empowering ministry of the Spirit and still have a love toward his or her spouse, children, a family. Can still do that. So what happens with the relationship of human love and spiritual love? Well, the best that I can do with this right now, and I'm working on passages and things for you, is that if you can think of spiritual love as this long stick, say like about a 5-inch iron bar, a 5-inch iron solid steel iron bar. So here we just have a iron rod here, and then we'll take a little brass wire. Take a string, or just a very thin piece of brass wire, and we wrap that brass wire around here. We wrap that brass wire around, and we wrap it around a couple of times with different things. What happens here is that spiritual love here strengthens, solidifies, and directs, because this is from the Holy Spirit. So when this love is directed, remember, what did we say? Spiritual love, and this is all very important. I'm working on a whole other study of this for you. But if you remember, spiritual love has three, being a force, it has the three very important qualities for us. One is direction, and that's very important. And then the second is magnitude, and then the third is impact or effect. Now, what I want to talk about a moment here is direction. Now, if I am empowered by God the Holy Spirit, you are empowered by God the Holy Spirit, which means we are led of the Spirit. So what the Holy Spirit is going to do is now lead in regard to romantic love, if we're sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that romantic love, here's our bar again, this is spiritual love. Under the empowering of the Holy Spirit, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, He directs us in this. Now, that romantic love winds itself around the stability of spiritual love and all of the others, family love. These loves start wrapping themselves around the stability of spiritual love, the love that is empowered by God the Holy Spirit, and therefore they are strengthened by spiritual love. They are directed by spiritual love because the Holy Spirit leads us. So all of these things start functioning together. Therefore, if we are out of the empowering ministry of the Spirit, the brass wire is there. But now it becomes very weak and is dependent upon the flesh once again. But when you and I are in the strength of the spirit-filled life and we spiritual love, that adds that spiritual, the stability and all the impact of spiritual love, now takes that thin brass wire of our love toward our husbands and our love toward our wives and our love toward others, and strengthens that love. It makes it point out the direction of it, increases the magnitude, the impact or the effect. See, to the unbeliever, what is the impact and the effect of flesh love? It's the flesh. It's the temporal world. And that's what it's designed for. What is spiritual love? Spiritual love is what? It's the spiritual. It's the invisible warfare. It's the eternal. So therefore, you take the impact or the effect. Let's take our little thin wire here of our romantic love. Just stay with that a moment. Husband and wife love. And that's what we have, and it's related to the world. It's related to the flesh. It's related to how they look. It's related to finance. It's related to security. It's related to ourselves, our own strength, our own loyalty. It's related to just a lot of things. See? This is what this love is the impact of it, the effect of it, is in the realm of the flesh and in the realm of the world. Now let's take our steel bar, run it through, and wrap it around that. Now we've added the spiritual. Now we've added the invisible. Now we've added a dimension to love that so few people are understanding today in regard to both marrying and divorce. And if I could get the young people at my house and here in the church, or anybody, not just young people, any single person, to understand the relationship of the human love wrapped around that bar of spiritual love, and how spiritual love takes our romantic love and gives it a spiritual impact, gives it a, puts it into the dimension that cannot be seen with the eye, makes the love more important than just the flesh, because people, just in the realm of the flesh, I can divorce for a lot of reasons and not even think twice about it and have good reason to. But if you take that same love and you wrap it around spiritual love, you wrap it around that love that puts it into the spiritual, it puts it into the invisible, puts it into another realm, then all of that starts going into the shadows. And even whom I will fall in love with goes into the shadows, because spiritual love is going to direct. This is something that it transcends the flesh. This is something far more important than the flesh. And all those flesh standards and all those flesh issues start dropping to the side. Well, I want to marry somebody who looks, all of us when very young, I want to marry the very beautiful, I want to marry very handsome, I want to marry very wealthy, I want to marry this and that. All of those things go they go fading away. They go fading away when you wrap them around spiritual love. When you wrap them around the love that is empowered, enriched, and poured into us by God the Holy Spirit. He takes that romantic love, and if it is directed by God the Holy Spirit, if that romantic love is directed by God the Holy Spirit, the romantic love is even enriched, because now it is mixed and becomes strengthened by the spiritual. And the human standards of the way someone looks, or their age, or their finances, or all of these things, they're just no longer important. Because this love is wrapped around spiritual love. This love is strengthened. This love is directed around what is important to God. You see. And I'll also deal with this, that when the romantic love has its reasons in being tested, but if we continue in spirit love, in spiritual love, it's what this is going to do. It's going to solidify even the romantic love when it's under siege, under attack by Satan, under attack by circumstances, whatever it may be that is going on in a person's life. If that love has been wounded and wound around and strengthened by spiritual love, even when the brass of romantic love between a husband and wife becomes very, very thin, if it's wrapped around spiritual love, that spiritual love has the magnitude to carry it. Spiritual love has the impact to carry it and to sustain it. And this is what a person has to always be aware of in these relationships of the two. For the born-again believer, we cannot separate these two loves. You can't take a romantic love and say, well, all right, so my romantic love is working out, I get a divorce, and everything's right between God and I. As John says, you lie and the truth is not in you. This love right here, spiritual love, is a love that performs all the miracles, its miraculous power within us, that takes all these things in the earth and lifts them into the spiritual realm. And it's so vital that I can get our single young people, our teenagers, to realize all the facets that are involved in love, in spiritual love and in romantic love, what they add to each other in regard to the plan of God. God is not indifferent to romantic love. We know that from the garden. God knows that it is not good for man to be alone. God knows that God is the designer and author of romantic love, not Satan and not the flesh. And now what he's given for you and for me is giving us, as it were, an iron bar. He's given us a gold bar to wrap that little brass around and strengthen it and direct it and enrich it with the richness of the iron bar. This is what spiritual love will do. It has all these impacts, not only in the spiritual realm, but in the romantic realm. It bears all things. It is long suffering. That blends it, and the brass becomes long suffering. All these things start picking up the dimension and the impact of spiritual love, but we'll deal with a great deal of this later in its own study. So when Peter used phileo instead of agape, agapao, he was saying, yes, I love you, but I cannot love you as you demand. I cannot love you even as you are entitled to. I'm just too weak, and I have been made aware of that. Now we have time. Let's note a few more principles. One, what I want to look at is in the near future now for Peter, and that is the coming of the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and love. Point one, Jesus Christ demands agape love, agapao love, spiritual love. This is the love that Christ demands. This is why he asked him with that word, do you agapao me? This is the love of the new commandment. This is the love that only the Holy Spirit can give. This is the love that Christ demands, spiritual love. Two, but Jesus Christ knows that Peter, therefore we, if you want to put it in parentheses, we, cannot love him with that love. Our flesh cannot produce the love that he demands and requires and deserves. This is the love he deserves. Jesus Christ is entitled to the highest quality of love. He's the Son of God. But flesh cannot produce this love. Peter is just too weak. Peter is too weak to produce this love. All flesh is too weak. Now, every believer in Jesus Christ, every believer in Jesus Christ is entitled to spiritual love by virtue of being in Christ. We are entitled to it. We are demanded of it. The best way I illustrate this to our young people, I think I've even related in this class, give me $100, give me $100, and I have $100, and I'll have $100. That's unfair. It's unfair to demand of us what we cannot produce. And by the way, the third time Christ will change the word. But it's unfair to demand what we cannot do. But what if I reach into my pocket and hand the person the $100 and say, now give me $100? Now the person can give it back if they wish. Don't have to. See, God, what Christ did when he sent to you and to me the Holy Spirit, he gave to every one of you in this room the ability, the potential to love him as he is entitled to and as you should want to. He gave you the Holy Spirit to love him that way. Now, whether or not you return that, whether or not you love him in spiritual love, whether or not you will rely on God the Holy Spirit by faith to produce this love, is entirely up to you. It's a faith issue. But every one of you in this room now can love him as he is entitled to be loved, as he should be loved. Every one of us can. There isn't a believer in this room who cannot love Christ in the manner in which Christ is entitled to, because Christ made it possible. He made it possible for you to love Him this way. Why? How? Because He gave you the Holy Spirit. And now you can love Him with agapao love. You can love Him with spiritual love. You have no excuse. There isn't one of us who have an excuse for not loving Christ with the love wherewith He is demanded and which He is entitled and which we can do in that spiritual love. But it is determined by our faith. It is determined by our faith, reliance on the Holy Spirit to produce this love so that we can love Christ. Point three, therefore, Jesus Christ out of His love, by the way, this is what I just said, but let me get it to you in a point. Jesus Christ out of His love is going to graciously give to each of us, Peter included, and to each of us, the power to love Him in a manner in which he is entitled to be loved. Jesus Christ is going to give Peter and to every believer in the church age the indwelling power of God the Holy Spirit to produce this love. You and I cannot produce it. It is an accurate statement. I cannot in the flesh love you as you are entitled to be loved. Then here's the Holy Spirit. Now you can. Now it's up to you and to me to say, I will not rely on the Holy Spirit to produce this love. But if we want to, it is there. And all we have to do is to trust Him. First, Jesus Christ demands of us the highest quality of love. See, in John 13, he demands spiritual love in the new commandment. He demands it of Peter now. First, Jesus Christ demands of us the highest quality of love, spiritual love which we cannot produce. Secondly, then Christ gives to us the power of God the Holy Spirit to produce or pour into our hearts this love that He demands. He demands the love, and then He gives the love. See, people, this is what I'm trying to communicate by way of illustration, and we'll put it into if we can get to a series on it. But I'll give the principles as we go through. If men today could understand, if husbands today and potential husbands today could understand that it is the husband's responsibility to give to the wife the love to respond to him in love. It is his responsibility to give to her this love that she can then give back. This is what we mean when we talk about being a responder and all of this type of thing. Here is the love. Now you can respond to this love. The more that a man will give to a woman love, the more that woman will have love to give back. But when a man does not give love, then the woman is not going to have that love there in order to give back to him. And I'm speaking here in just the principle of love between a man and a woman. But this is what a man, a husband, is to do. This is why a husband is commanded to love your wife. The more that a husband learns and loves his wife, the more his wife will know about love, understand about love, the service of love, the sacrifice of love, the responsibility of love, the long-suffering of love, the kindness of love. The more she understands all of these things from his love toward her, the more love she has to give in return. The more that you and I understand and absorb through the power of the Spirit and the understanding of Christ's love toward us, the more we love him. Because he said, this is the new commandment, that you love one another how? Just as I have loved you. The more that I, and I'm talking about me, the more that I comprehend and grasp Christ's love toward me, the more that I can love other believers. You see how it works? Not just the more that I can love him, the more that I can love other believers. Because what Christ commands is that this love be directed toward others. Here we are as the born-again believer. This is us. Here is the other believer, our believers. We are to love them in the same love wherewith Jesus Christ has loved us. Therefore, the more and the greater that I understand and allow God the Holy Spirit to produce this love in me and understand the impact of this love, what this love means to me, what this love does to me, how this love deals with me when I am bad and when I fail and when I am good, and all these types of things, then the more I'm going to have this love in direction toward others. This is the love that we are commanded. This is why the love doesn't change when it's a love toward others. It's the same love wherewith he has loved us. We love other believers with it. And the more that you and I understand how he loved us, the more we're able to produce this love. So therefore, the more that a wife, and in my analogy, responded, here's the wife as the believer. Here's the wife. And the more that she understands how her husband loves, the more she's able to give back to her husband, and not only to her husband, but also to others that they come in contact with. So, point five. So now, no one has any excuse for not loving Christ with this love. Peter has an excuse right now because he hasn't received the power of the Holy Spirit. But now in the church age, and once he receives it, no one has any excuse for not loving Christ with the same love. The love with Christ has loved us. The love of God the Father and the love of Christ has been given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we have no excuse, no excuse for not loving another believer as Christ has loved us. We are without excuse. We have the power in God the Holy Spirit to love another believer as Christ has loved us. It is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and it is accomplished by means of faith. And this means our responsibility is not so much even regard to love. I desire to love. If you aspire this love, you cannot produce it. This love comes to us by means of faith. This is our responsibility. Ours is the responsibility of faith. Ours is not the responsibility to produce this love. The giver will produce the love. Who is the giver? The giver of this love is God the Holy Spirit. The gift that he gives is spiritual love. It is his responsibility. It is not mine, it is not yours to produce this love. This is the responsibility of the giver. And the giver of the gift is God the Holy Spirit. The gift that he gives is spiritual life. We understand the receiving of it by means of faith. It is poured through us. It is a love that can come to every believer by reliance on God the Holy Spirit. And finally, six, as we will see, Peter will be able to love Jesus Christ with the magnitude of love that he once professed, that he once boasted of. When he receives the one whom Jesus Christ has sent, God the Holy Spirit, Peter, under the power of God the Holy Spirit, will be able to do all that he declared that he would do, and that includes up to the point of his own death. And tradition has it that Peter died on an upside-down cross. And I will show you why that's the tradition from passage of Scripture. He will be able to do that. He was not able to do that before, and we saw that. He broke down in fear. But under the power of God the Holy Spirit, what he's going to be able to do is he's going to be able to have a love, spiritual love, that will let him even die for Jesus Christ. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Let's close in a word of prayer. Love makes great demands, even the demand of life. We sing praises to you, Heavenly Father, in regard to your life, that you demonstrated your love, and that while we were yet sinners, your Son died for us. We now, Heavenly Father, thanks to you in providing us the Holy Spirit, have the power to produce that same love in us, to serve one another. This is how we are to use our liberty, not to use our liberty for our self-gain, but Paul commands that we use our liberty to serve one another and love. It is our purpose, Heavenly Father, to understand the power, the impact of spiritual love, and then abide moment by moment in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, that he, the giver, can give to us the gift of loving as Christ loved us. We stand amazed at the God that you are and of your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen.